Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 The Game.
Play clock is at 5 seconds.
They reset the play clock.
Reset the play clock, and Winston's going to be sacked and fumbles the ball. It is picked up and fumbled again by the right tackle, Benenock.
Back McKinley.
Yep. So Jameis Winston sacked by McKinley.
Attack sack. You got to love it. I saw Beezer on the cornerback last night as well. Rick Hamlet, John Michaels, we're your boys. We throw a midday party. You may have heard of it, the midday show with Rick and John, and it's a Falcons Tuesday. We are stoked that our boys won last night, going to 9-5. Yeah, it was ugly. They broke some eggs to make that omelet, but I'm happy. And John, I have big news for you.
Okay.
And Mark and Paul and everybody. And so go ahead and hit the breaking news sounder. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, because Mike Conte's out there angry.
We're all in great stead with Mike Conte right now through an amazing party on Saturday night.
News.
So
what was that?
Play that again.
This is fake breaking news.
Okay, yeah, there we go. This is fake breaking news. All right, John. So tomorrow is our holiday party.
Yeah.
Here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Entercom/CBS Radio family for a few more days.
Mm-hmm.
I will be attending the holiday party tomorrow at the W Hotel.
Nice.
And so shout out to my guy, Ro Parrish, over at NBA TV. He's part of our broadcast roster, and he's my guy. And we've done a swap. I'm working for him on Friday. He's working for me on Wednesday. So you and me, John, will be representing the mid. Now, you're giving me the, I don't know.
I plan on going, kind of. I'm sort of 50-50.
What does that mean?
I'm just trying to figure out, do I want to sit here for an hour before the party actually gets started?
Maybe you and me should get a pregame going.
Potentially. See how that works out.
There's a place called Establishment right downstairs.
Yeah,
remember, we made it through Snowmageddon 2017 there.
I'm okay. Sean, are you in tomorrow for this party thing? Are there door prizes?
Sean, you like hearing? I've moved it around at NBA TV so I can go to the holiday party.
First time for everything.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
Are there door prizes?
Why you got to get so shady on me?
Smooth. Are there cash bonuses? Are there, like, you know, maybe a money machine down there, something for all of us?
Now, we get a little tag that says, you didn't get axed in the Entercom merger. Welcome to the family. Oh, Merry Christmas.
So, Smooth, just for that comment, I'm only staying an hour. So, how do you like that? How do you like
Shocking.
That? You know, I'm excited to go. Shout out to Ro Parrish for making it work for me.
Is he any relation to Roscoe Parrish?
Nor Malcolm Parrish.
No,
of the
Malcolm
Dogs.
Parrish either. No,
but he is. I want to just shout him out
what
real
about
quick.
Eric and Parrish making dollars. Is he related to them at all?
You just spoke Japanese.
You
no
don't,
idea. What
you don't
you
know EPMD.
I've heard of EPMD.
Yeah, that was their group.
Yeah,
Eric and Parrish making dollars.
Yeah, I know the acronym, not the whole thing. But Deion Sanders has a cool show on NFL Network, and Ro is the DJ for that show.
Okay,
and so shout out to Ro Parrish. But I will be frolicking at the Entercom holiday party tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Time to rock.
I'll pregame with you.
Okay. Let's go to Establishment.
A little Establishment, a little pregame drink.
Why can't you go?
Done.
I'm doing some work with the Swarm again this season,
Okay.
And we have a run-through and a meeting tomorrow afternoon. So because most people don't have a holiday party on a Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
But
so.
Can you tell them, hey, I've got this holiday shindig? I know the guys from the Swarm.
Yeah, they're good people.
They're great people.
Good people. No, because I'm kind of looking forward to going up there, and I know me. I know if I go to the holiday party, I'll have a couple beverages, and I'll either listen, Gretchen. I'm just going to go ahead and stay at the W, okay? Don't want to be safe, but I love you. Merry Christmas. You're my little elf. I love you. So I know me better than that.
We only get 2 drink tickets, M.O.
See, yeah, but there's always 2. Inevitably, there's always someone who's working that day. Mm-hmm. There's a salesperson or someone in promotions that ends up giving theirs away.
Yeah, see, what I was hoping if you guys
hopefully to me.
What I was hoping if you guys didn't go is the 3 of you went down and picked up your 2 drink tickets and then gave them to me. So I would have had 8 total drink tickets.
I'm going to be scalping drink tickets out front. I got 2. Who needs 2?
What's face value?
Real cheap.
What's face value?
Let's see. What would be a mixed drink down there?
7, 8
bucks. Bucks. Yeah,
at the W, 14.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, 28 bucks. So, man, 2 drink tickets, $10.
Yeah.
2 drink tickets, $10.
Good deal.
It's what people were doing when
it's
we
Christmas,
had our
baby.
When we had our Entercom merger meeting.
Yeah.
That's what. hey, I got some drink tickets for you. What you got on my drink tickets? What? We work together. What are you talking about?
Went to jail, Fulton County Jail, for scalping drink tickets.
So we party tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. But first, you know, we got a kick-butt show to do from 10 to 2 on Wednesday. It'll be a Falcons Wednesday. It's all about the Falcons right now. And, John, hey, look at the clock. It's high noon. We talk Falcons every day at high noon. And we're going to keep the ball rolling here. John, by the way, is going to drop his victory song on you in about, I don't know, 7.5 minutes, something like that.
Maybe 10.
But let's continue the conversation on the Falcons, dude. Look, we've talked a lot today about negatives, John. Let's accentuate some of the positives. Let's talk about, first of all, Lavine Toilolo and Ben Garland kind of, sort of saving the day with the fumble recoveries. Freeman's going in. I'm like, that's a touchdown. And then you see guys scurrying for the ball. They raise the hands for the touchdown. Whew. And then Freeman fumbles later in the game, and Ben Garland wisely jumps on that rock. So let's focus on some of the good things that happened.
Well, I'll tell you, the play before Devontae fumbles, I thought they were going to take a look at it. And this was pre the Falcons using their challenges. It looked like Devontae had gotten in. I guess they figured, all right, it's second and goal at the half-yard line. Dontari Poe had just, you know, uncorked somebody at the goal line. We'll turn around and hand it to Free. The linebacker for Tampa makes a great play. Nice in. The ball goes popping out of there. But Lavine Toilolo, Johnny on the spot coming up with the play there. That was huge because that's a play that, you know, all of a sudden they would have had a touchback and been out at the 20-yard line and you don't get a touchdown.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's a Falcons Tuesday here. We'll take your calls. Let's accentuate some of the positives, man. 404-741-0929. You know, a lot of stuff to be happy about in this game. Ryan with his feet. And, John, so let's play this game real quick. I want to know your play of the game. There was a lot of stuff going on last night, a lot of plays to choose from. For me, the play of the game, and it's not just because he's my favorite Falcon who wears double deuce, was Keanu Neal coming up and pummeling Peyton Barber, getting the ball out of his hands. They're going in. Momentum was starting to shift whole thing. And for us to get that fumble right there, and by the way, takeaways for us have been few and far between. But you look back, that to me is the play of the game, getting that red zone turnover and keeping them out of the end zone.
Well, think about where it was at that point. It's 14-7. Tampa's about to tie. At minimum, it's going to be 14-10. You go from 14-7, you get the red zone turnover, and you go down and convert it into a 57-yard field goal and get points off of. So that's at minimum of 10 points, or minimum a 6-point swing, potentially a 10-point swing in your favor. For me, the play of the game is you stuck with the run, and Devontae Freeman pays it off for the game winner. You had the perfect alley on the toss sweep, a block here, a block there, and, you know, right down the gap. And then Devontae Freeman shakes a defensive back completely out of his wardrobe and walks into the end zone. That's the play of the game because I think all of us were getting to the point like, all right, we got to throw it. You got it. All right, let's just keep running it. And you kept banging into the wall, and you finally broke it wide open, and you go out and you get a victory.
Matt Bryant's 57-yard field goal was monstrous. Monstrous. At the time, it made it 17-7, and I'm like, all right, we got to tack on field goal. All right, you know, let's just keep lighting up the scoreboard. You know, I'm a field goal guy, John. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Sunday, could you believe Belichick didn't take the field goal? I believe it was a 4th-and-1 scenario, and went for it. And just a couple days ago, a lot of games that would have tied the game with a field goal, right?
I'm trying to remember,
there was a scenario where Bill Belichick didn't even take the field goal, and I'm like, he's been watching college football. Because nobody in college football takes a field goal anymore.
Because kickers in college aren't really trustworthy like they are in the NFL.
Some of them are.
Another very key play that will go unnoticed is Devondre Campbell tackling Adam Humphries inbounds that ends up being the play that sets up the field goal. Campbell makes a hell of a play. Then he kind of lays on top of the guy like you do at the end. And then the referee falls down and they end up running out clock. That's a play where if Humphries gets out of bounds, Tampa probably has two more plays to try to move down the field a little further and make it a much easier kick to try to tie it.
Another candidate for play of the game is Devontae Freeman running over the brother of his teammate and his brother, T.J. Ward. Has T.J. Ward come to yet?
Not sure.
I don't think so. He turned the lights out on T.J. Ward. Now, God bless T.J. Ward. He is a safety, a former Pro Bowl safety, who is paid to get his shoulder and head down in there and take it. They were saying on the broadcast last night that Devontae Freeman is shins and shoulder pads. That's not a good combination no. for a defender trying to get low on. How are you going to – low man wins, right? How are you going to get lower than Devontae Freeman, who's 5'6 or 5'7"?
Yeah, he might be 5'8 tops in cleats. And then he gets low when he runs. And he runs so angry. And here's the problem when you try to when you guard a guy like Devontae Freeman. You also know that with that anger and that straight-ahead running style, he could put a foot in the ground and make you look really stupid. So you're kind of caught in between, I got to keep my base, and I don't want to get too low and get left diving in air. But then when you do that, the next thing you know, you got a license plate hanging off the back of your head because Devontae's just run you over.
Art, do people still think that he can't carry the mail? Do people still think
so.
That? Like, what does he need to do to prove to people that he is a durable bell cow back? He gets his bell rung and has to sit with the occasional concussion, but this guy is totally up to the task of being a 25 to 30 touch per game guy. Totally up to the task.
You said yesterday was that you wanted 30 total touches?
Like 25 to 30. Yeah. What was it?
He had a bunch of touches yesterday, and it had to be close to 30. So he was a guy that was running it well. He was catching the ball out of the backfield. He did have a key drop on what would have been a monster play going down the field for Devontae Freeman. But he ends up yesterday 22 carries, and he also has 5 receptions. So 27 touches. I've said all along, this is a lather-up player. You get him loose, and in the first quarter, he's running good. You get him to the fourth quarter, and he breaks off runs because you're tired. He's a guy that just wants to be fed over and over again, and that was a perfect example. You sprinkled in Teron Ward for 8 carries and a couple of catches, but Devontae was the bell cow last night.
We're going to take some calls here in a second, but I got to drop a squirrel on you.
Squirrel.
ESPN just has, you know, some of the Kobe stuff from last night, the ceremony at halftime for the jersey retirement. I've said this once, I'll say it again because it's worthy of reiteration. Vanessa Bryant, Kobe's wife, is the hottest player wife on planet Earth. I don't believe that there is a hotter player wife than Vanessa Bryant. She was looking stunning last night. That's all I want to say out of respect for Kobe Bryant at this delicate time, an emotional time of his life. That, but Vanessa Bryant is on fire.
That sounds like either a Twitter poll or a slice of life question, potentially to be named later. We'll have to do it in a very
hottest
respectful
player wife.
Yeah.
Look, if you're Vanessa Bryant looking sexy as heck in the first row on Kobe night at Staples, you want people talking about you, okay?
Now,
like I said, I'm not going to go into, like, describing her body and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to be respectful on that. But to call Kobe's wife hot is not offensive to anybody.
I'd like to think not, but again, in today's PC world, you can't say anything. You just have to say, she's a very respectable individual.
We have 4 hours of radio to fill.
Oh, yeah. We
fill it with joy.
Yeah, we're gonna,
and double entendre.
We're going to step across the line.
And childish pranks.
Yeah, we do all of those.
And it's all designed to get Mark Owens to put his head in his hands behind the board.
Been good so far. No complaints yet.
Let's take a call or two, and then we'll hear a victory song here in just a moment. Chip's out in Griffin. We haven't heard from Chip in a while. Chip, how you doing?
I'm doing good, fellas. I just been listening in on your show, but I got to come in a little bit about the positive part of the Falcons, and I got just to sprinkle in a little bit negative.
All right.
The negative part, Julio and our other receiver, hey, man, y'all got to catch them balls. I'm beginning to worry a little bit about Julio because he catched the tough. He made the tough catches, but he dropped the easy catches. The positive part I'm going to go with is Matt. I know we always critical of Matt, how he perform on the field and stuff like that, man. But you got to give Matt a little credit, man. He extended the plays on a lot of plays that had broken down because of the offensive line. So I'm going to give Matt I'm going to give him an A this time, man. And y'all guys keep doing what you're doing. Enjoy the show.
Appreciate it, Chip.
Hey, John. So, you know, I listen to Hugh a lot in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard, because we, look, John, you and me, you know, we didn't play pro football.
No.
Okay, so we've played sports at varying levels in our lives, but we did not play pro football. We didn't even play college football, okay? So in this way, Hugh Douglas always says that as a player walking off the field with a win, you don't care how you got it.
Nope.
You don't care what it took. You don't care if it was a gift from the refs. You don't care if it was the ugliest win ever. You got the W. And so, but the dichotomy there, John, is guys like you and me, we didn't walk off that field after a 60-minute bloodbath with a win in an ugly game. We didn't do that.
Nope.
What we do is analyze from the sideline and do our best job of that. So we critique and nitpick and analyze. But and to his point, but a guy like Hugh Douglas and many others, they just take the win without any critiquing or nitpicking at all. So I just wanted to present that angle here on a nitpicking Falcons Tuesday.
Here's the thing. Dan Quinn's going to nitpick. Steve Sarkisian's going to nitpick. Raheem Morris is going to nitpick. Marquand Manuel, they'll go through the film and go, this was wrong, this was wrong, this was wrong. But I will tell you, to a man, and I'm on the bus with these players, every one of them was happy last night. There wasn't a guy walking around going, ah, we only won by three. Man, that sucks. That's not how it works. They look and go, we're 5-2 on the road, and we can make the playoffs.
It's also about a healthy or healthier respect of the Shield and of the talent in the league and not sleeping on a team like Tampa Bay. Because, John, if the Falcons thought last night that they could show up and put their jockstrap and helmet on and win, they would have lost by 10 points last night.
They would.
But it wasn't pretty, but the effort was their maximum style throughout the game. That's why they got the win.
Well, on every Falcons Tuesday brought to you by Xfinity, when it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. When we win, I sing.
This is not what you expected, is it? Oh, yeah, it's a Falcons Victory Tuesday. This one was by request. On the tarmac, getting on the plane. So blame somebody else. Now you can tell by the way we win close games. We're a hardened team, a brotherhood. Devontae runs, he shakes and bakes, and you can eat that dub some other day. And that's all right. We're 9-5, and we just won another game. We won't lose. Bring on the Saints. Time for all that N-O hate. It really doesn't matter how we got here, but the Falcons alive. Falcons alive. Playoffs are still in our control because we're still alive. Still alive. Falcons alive. Falcons alive. Falcons alive.
Easy, Josh. Don't pull another muscle.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to some more of your calls at 404-741-0929. Also, an NFL bounce coming up next. The Browns could be winners.
In
just
what?
Just not actually on the field, Rick. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9. The game.
Falcons alive.
We're bouncing around the Shield.
Let's go.
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9. The game.
Yes, a John Michaels victory song on a Falcons Tuesday. We will hear that one more time, at least during our show, and outtakes coming up at 1:40. Coming up next, it's From the Bible. Top of the hour at 1 o'clock, Knox Bardeen will be in here and hopefully can bring some sense to this debate about if Oklahoma scores 30, the Dogs are done. All three of these knuckleheads think the Dogs are done. I don't. We'll see what Knox has to say. But I do know this. The NFL Bounce is brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Stop by and test drive their new 2017 Kia Sorento. So, John, I love it. You hit a nerve with me, bro, because we're talking draft way in advance. So, John is right. The Cleveland Browns could have the top two picks in the NFL draft. Could have them. Now, you're like, how? Well, the Deshaun Watson trade gives the rights to Houston's 2018 first-round pick to Cleveland. Here's what needs to happen. Well, first of all, right now, Browns, Giants, Colts, 49ers, Browns. Browns, Giants, Colts, 49ers, Browns. Mm. That's your top five. But the Browns could work up to number two. They keep the number one pick, obviously, if they go 0-16, which we all think they will. The Texans need to lose out. The Giants need to win out. And the Colts need to win out. So they need a lot to happen, John. They need four things to happen. Kind of like how I got bounced out of the playoffs in Grant McCauley's league. I needed four things to happen on the final week, and they all happened. So it's unlikely, I would say, John, that they get the top two picks, but possible.
Well, you know what? Speaking of fantasy, real quick, I'm happy in the Carriage Kia League that I'm in. I am in the finals, so I've got a nice little Christmas bonus coming my way, win or lose. Win, I'm going to be very, very happy. Lose, I'm still going to be happy because I've got a nice bonus coming one way or the other. But I had the best bad luck week ever. My team stunk. The guy I played stunk worse, but I lost Antonio Brown and I lost O.J. Howard last night. So I am scouring scrap heap ability trying to find people to fill in for Antonio Brown and O.J. Howard.
Is Martavis Bryant on waivers?
I don't think so.
You might need to look into that. One of my favorite plays on Sunday was Ben Roethlisberger backpedaling, throwing that lollipop perfectly.
Oh, no, no.
Into
I have I'm sorry. I have Martavis Bryant.
You already have Martavis Bryant.
I have Martavis.
Well, just plug him in there.
Yeah, but he's not Antonio Brown.
I get it, but he'll play well.
Nobody's play Antonio
well.
Brown.
No, no, no. Julio's not even Antonio Brown this year.
Now, let's take a quick call before we continue the NFL bounce. Luke's in Marietta. He's been hanging on. Luke, how you doing?
Hey, I'm all right. How about yourself?
Doing good, man.
I tell you, folks, I just want to take us back to a minute 39 or 43 left in the game last night. 39. The Falcons, they should have run the ball. Instead, they passed it. Matt Ryan gets sacked. Cost me my fantasy season, man.
Oh,
it was terrible.
No. Sorry, bro.
$600, man.
Ooh.
Half a point I lost by. But I just want to know what you guys think. Why would the Falcons not run the ball right then? What good could passing the ball be done?
What do you mean?
Here's the thing on that, Luke. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, let me see. They're passing the ball. They could have threw the pick, could have fumbled it. They got sacked. I mean, they didn't stop the clock. I mean, why not keep the clock running? I mean, they stopped the clock by passing.
The clock didn't stop because.
Is he talking about the 3rd and 5 play to Freeman?
The last play, 3rd and 9, when you needed one more play and Matt Ryan gets sacked. The clock still runs when you get sacked.
But here, great explanation, John. But here's the thing. I complained about this coming off of the Steelers-Patriots game. Todd Haley, the OC of the Steelers, was an idiot and way too conservative. You've got Jason Voorhees on the sideline who just pulled off the greatest comeback in sports history in the Super Bowl, and you're going to play not to lose with run, punt? Come on, bro. So to me, I liked us throwing in that scenario. It shows confidence. It shows aggression. And it wasn't like stupid aggression like the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You get that first down and see you later. The game is over. You didn't get it. I was fine with that play call.
Yeah, and Matt Ryan actually makes a really good decision not trying. He had Justin Hardy breaking open late, but by then he had a defensive lineman basically wearing his jersey. So Matt Ryan could have tried to get rid of the ball. What would have happened then? It would have been an incomplete. It would have stopped the clock. They would have got the ball with 1:40. You ended up taking the clock down, and by the time Tampa got the ball, they had exactly 1 minute left to go with no timeouts.
Sometimes, John, it is okay to take a sack, okay?
Yep.
Now, in the Super Bowl, you know, if Matt could have found a way to launch that baby to the sideline, it would have been better, a lot better. But that was just a tough play. And, you know, thinking back to that play, he kind of sort of didn't have any other option other than to eat that football. But, John, I would much rather have him eat the football than put the darn thing in harm's way. How many tip interceptions and just weird plays have we seen this year? I had no problem with that.
Some other stuff in the NFL bounce here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thomas Davis, as of right now, suspended for the rest of the regular season. 2-game suspension for his hit upside the head of Davante Adams. By the way, Rick, did you see the tweets that Davante Adams put out?
No.
He went in on Thomas Davis, basically saying, you know, man of the year coming to me trying to apologize. You know, I'm a defenseless guy. You don't need to do that. It was a dirty play. Like, I'm just kind of paraphrasing what he said there. Thomas Davis right now suspended 2 games.
Well, if you'd listened to From the Bible yesterday, you would have heard all that because we discussed it.
Well, my thing was going.
But the bottom line is this, in terms of Davante Adams is over it. He got decapitated in the Bears game earlier this year. Was that Danny Trevathan or Brandon Marshall? It's Brandon Marshall, I think. Anyway, one of the Bears players decapitated Davante Adams, and I believe he missed a game or two after that. And so, again, it happened. So this is multiplicity with these head knockers that he's taken. If this were the first concussion he had suffered all year, John, I don't think he would have gone in on Thomas Davis like that. And I believe that Thomas Davis was contrite and sincere and does feel bad about it, but he does not deserve a 2-game suspension, especially, John, not at this late point of the season. You're going to end his regular season on a team that was just in the Super Bowl and a team that has a chance to win their division? Come on, man. You don't suspend who was the guy that escaped the suspension and we were so angry about it? Was it Gronkowski? No, he got a game.
No, Gronk got a game.
The
safety in the Pittsburgh game. In the Pittsburgh New England not the Pittsburgh New England game. What was the game the week previous? The Pittsburgh
Iloka.
Ravens game. Yeah, George Iloka.
I was actually okay with him not being suspended for that. Bottom line is this should be trimmed back to a 1-game suspension. I get it. You want to send a message that hits like that can't continue in the NFL. That's what the safety thing is all about. But 2 games? Come on, brah. Let's appeal this down to one.
Here's the biggest problem I have. There's no consistency. I understand Thomas Davis is a repeat offender this year, the second time he's done something like this. you can't tell me that Rob Gronkowski diving into the back of somebody's head when they're laying on the ground is any less egregious than what Thomas Davis did. Both of them were suspendable offenses in my estimation. But you got to make the same ruling. And this is where the NFL, they pick and choose what they want to do on a week-to-week basis.
For the Falcons' sake, I hope the suspension is upheld. Then we don't have to face Thomas Davis.
Thomas Davis actually responded to Devontae Adams via Twitter. He said, "I understand your frustration. I do apologize for the hit. In no way was I trying to hurt you. My first instinct was to turn and make a block. In all sincerity, I do apologize. I truly respect you as a player, and I made a mistake."
I mean, from Thomas Davis's standpoint, you can't do any more than that. You can't. And I guess he tried to maybe extend an olive. Well, he probably wasn't able to extend an olive branch during the game or after the game because Devontae Adams was in the concussion protocol and probably not even on the field. Did you see what Mike McCarthy said about Aaron Rodgers? If you're in a fantasy championship game and you have Aaron Rodgers, you might not be able to play him. McCarthy said he's non-committal when asked if Rodgers would start Week 16 against the Vikings. McCarthy says he took too many hits, and that's really about it. That's all he said. That's the length of the quote that I have. I don't agree with this. I do not think that Aaron Rodgers got battered in that game. Matter of fact, John, he was making business decisions. He was feeling pressure and unloading it quick, and I get it. He's just coming back from a broken collarbone. But a lot of those throws, John, the timing was off and he underthrew them because he got rid of the ball too quick because he was feeling pressure and maybe seeing ghosts a little bit. So just wanted to let y'all know that you might not have A-Rod this week.
I understand you bring him back. You thought it was going to save the season, beat Carolina. It didn't happen. You're eliminated from the playoffs now. I just question, why would you bring Aaron Rodgers back anyway then if you're concerned about him being injured? And that's what that quote sounds like, is you're concerned about potentially Aaron Rodgers being hurt again. I know your season's over. I guess I'd still play him. In the grand scheme of things, the future of Aaron Rodgers is more important than two meaningless games for Green Bay.
Okay, so they are mathematically eliminated.
They're done. When we won, we eliminated them last
night. So if every team ahead of them loses two and they've been
out,
they're done. They're dead. You do not play Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
This is a very, very simple decision to me. This is the franchise. You are still alive for the playoffs, okay? You play him. You have 12, dude. You have one of the top five spiralers of all time. You have to give yourself that chance. The run that Aaron Rodgers went on last year is why they brought him back, because they just caught fire, 1-9. They were a contender, NFC Championship game. So I get bringing him back for that game. No problem with it at all. And Look, I would not get it if Rodgers played against that Minnesota defense. Yeah. No, you don't put him in harm's way like that.
Instead of saying relax, the Packers' new theme is E-L-I-minated. E-L-I-minated.
I thought that was research material at the end of From the Bible, something we had to spell out and get clarification.
Do you like that one?
I do. Eli-minated.
Yeah. E-L-I.
Actually, Minated. I don't want to research a dude named Eli. I don't want to look up Eli-minated. I don't want to do that.
You know somewhere.
Like Elise-minated? Maybe. Not Eli.
Alize-minated?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Now you're talking.
Let me be careful before I offend somebody with any other name that we may say on this program.
Here's a buzzkill. James Conner. Put on IR with a knee injury, going to require surgery. It's the same knee that he previously buzzkilled. So, I don't know, thoughts and blessings to James Conner, a terrific back. You know, when he got very limited time behind Le'Veon Bell, he looked great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He runs hard. They love James Conner in Pittsburgh. Obviously, the story with him, everything that happened in college, Hodgkin's lymphoma, coming back from a knee injury. He was an ACC player of the year. They love him there. Unfortunately, looks like his season is over for the year. Falcon fans have a chance to save up to $120 at Kauffman Tire every game this season. For each quarter, the Falcon score fans save $30 at any Kauffman Tire store the next day. Yesterday, the team scored in 1, 2, 3 quarters, so fans have a chance to save $90 on a set of 4 new tires today only. Visit KauffmanTire.com or your neighborhood Kauffman Tire store for all the details. Kauffman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. Paul rides around on Kauffman Tires.
That's right.
All right, during the break, we're just cooking up best win, worst loss, most choke, most clutch. We're going to do that at 120 right around the corner. Top of the hour, Knox Bardeen of 92.9thegame.com will be here to bicker, and I can't wait to see if Knox is with me or with you knuckleheads. These guys think that if Oklahoma hits 30, the dogs are done. I completely disagree.
Here's what I'm trying to figure out. It's almost 1 year to the date of last year's bet between Kamla and Knox. And it's Alabama against Clemson again. Remember, you guys had a haircut on the line last time. Can we reprise that bet? You've got Bama this year. I got a feeling Knox is going with the Clemson Tigers. Can we get our buddy Memphis in studio once again to make a design in somebody's head?
Let's talk more about that. Let's get Knox in here in about 18 minutes and continue that conversation. I don't know if I'm carving anything into my head, but we could create some kind of bet. He could carve something into his head.
You were okay with the carving last year.
But I wasn't. Deep down inside, I wasn't. I was. There was much trepidation watching that.
You were so happy that Deshaun Watson hit Hunter Renfro for the game winner.
There was. I was happy Clemson restored order. They were about to get doors blown in that first half of that championship game. Preacher man, what's up?
What's up is From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4FLOODS. Dunn Waterproofing. Now, you know how we always talk about trophies and bowl games and such like that? Well, the Birmingham Bowl has a trophy that's a little unique. It's going to be Texas Tech and South Florida. You might want to pull this bowl up so you can see the picture.
It's not like the dude's signature on the driver's license
created a furor, right? No, sir, okay. Not that. Apparently, they claim that there's a perfectly reasonable explanation for the trophy having an exposed rear end. The trophy is modeled after the Vulcan, which is the world's largest cast iron statue, which was created to represent Birmingham at the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis. And this article gives credit to everyone involved for not chickening out and keeping the Vulcan pantless.
It's just a bare bottom trophy, a silver trophy. I'm just giggling because somewhere in a trophy case in, is it Texas Tech and who?
South Florida.
South Florida. Okay, if South Florida, let's be honest, their trophy case is probably fairly empty. They will proudly display this bare bottom dude for the Birmingham Bowl if Charlie Strong's group goes out and gets the win.
All right. I got a question. I got a question of the trophy from behind, and I see a statue's butt.
Yeah.
Okay. No big deal. I could be like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber and say it looks like he works out, but I won't do that. Is the front part of the man statue covered?
Yeah. It looks like there's a cape.
Yes.
If you look down in the front, there's sort of a shawl or a cape in front.
Okay, because if the front part was exposed and, you know what I'm saying? Like some of the statues and some of the museums around town, then I think there'd be a little bit of a PC problem with that.
Did you hear the other drama going on with the Birmingham Bowl? The Bulls, they're 9-2 on the season.
Mm-hmm.
Birmingham Bowl, right? They've sold under 2,000 tickets to the game. They've had to return over 7,000 tickets back to the Birmingham Bowl.
I don't think people are clamoring to go from Tampa to Birmingham for a bowl game against a 6-6 Texas Tech team.
8.5-hour drive.
No thanks.
You know, Johnny, we haven't talked about the Blue Raiders beating your Arkansas State.
Oh, they ain't my boys. They did beat them, though. That crybaby group from Jonesboro, Arkansas. You would have lost to us if you would have played us. You ran because of that stupid hurricane. Yeah, go beat Middle Tennessee.
Not.
They weren't able to get that done.
No.
All right, this is just in, actually.
FAU, that cost me like 32 confidence points.
Buzzkill.
Oh, FAU has given Lane Kiffin a new 10-year contract.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, say what? Whoa. 10-year Lane Kiffin what?
New 10-year contract.
Is it done, or are they talking about it?
Well, no, ESPN said it's done. I mean, I had the article earlier said that it was in the process, and his agent was flying in to finalize the details.
Of a 10-year deal?
Yes.
With a massive buyout. Now, I wonder when Lane gets hollered at by a Power 5 school and he wants to get back into Power 5 coaching, what the sort of escape, you know, clause is on that.
It's not going to be – his buyout won't be nearly as big as other schools. I mean, they just can't afford it.
Yeah, it's FAU. You can only afford so much. I'm sure there'll be a buyout attached. Let's be real. If somebody wants to pay, and I'm saying on the extreme high end, it's $15 million buyout.
Oh, it went really high.
And I'm saying,
I'd have said $500,000.
Well, because Todd Graham got $12.5 million to go away. I'm just saying, unbelievably high, $15 million buyout. If somebody really wants Lane Kiffin, they just go, here's the check, and they just slide it over to FAU.
But here's the thing. I don't think the buyout's even going to come into play here. They're not going to fire Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin is going to leave them for a prettier girl. That's what's going to happen.
That's what he always does.
Yeah. That's what he does. I'm not mad
grass
at him either.
Is always greener.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
not always.
Have you looked at our ESPN standings in that college bowl pick 'em?
No, because I missed almost every pick last
week.
You're
in first.
Stop it.
You are, because you had a couple of high confidence ones. You also lost like four really.
I know, I stunk. My picks were terrible. I haven't even looked at it. How many people are in the pool with us?
Only like seven. A bunch of slackers around here. Yeah. Now, do we make Grant McCauley pay even though he hasn't made a single pick on there? He logged in and hasn't made a pick.
I would say no.
Okay. All right.
Nicer than I am. Remember who owned the 49ers back in the 80s, early 90s?
Eddie DeBartolo.
That's right.
Yeah.
Guess who's considering buying the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, there's a better chance that one of Puff Daddy's making the band members buys the group than Eddie DeBartolo.
Look, P. Diddy's worth $820. That's what Preacher Man said the other day. $820 million. Put a group together. Get some entertainers. Get some ball players. I would love that. Sort of an amalgam ownership group with P. Diddy as the face. I think
we'll
say awesome.
That's $2.8
billion. Yeah. Eddie DeBartolo's got the coin. $2.8
billion.
$2.8 billion.
That's what Eddie's worth.
I ain't sleeping on the long pockets.
Now look, Eddie would still be owning, or still would, excuse me, if I could speak English correctly, the 49ers had he not tried to dabble in politics in Louisiana and got busted. He would still own that team. However, he turned it over to his sister, and now his inept nephew is running it.
Yeah, I'm wondering, would the NFL even allow him back in?
It's a question. You never know. I mean, you got to think about it. The owners are the ones who vote on who gets the franchise.
Now, was
he... You can't say. And he just got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Was he forced to sell his team? Was he coerced into selling his team?
He basically
sell his team?
No, he turned his team over to his sister. His sister owns the team.
Still?
Yes. It's still in the DeBartolo family. Well, the York family.
Interesting.
His sister, Denise.
Interesting.
I think he got out to prevent a huge scandal bigger than what it was.
Not like the Jerry Richardson thing, for different reasons, but that feels like a bit of a force out to me. These owners do not want to unown these NFL teams. I can tell you that.
There's a better chance Dylon owns the Carolina Panthers because he is one of the five hottest rappers around. It's Dylon, 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 and Dylon. You don't remember the show The Band, did you?
That went right over my head. I'm sure there were three listeners who are out there going, yeah, John.
I guarantee Sean knows because we were actually talking about The Band this morning.
Dylon?
Another possible name in the hat. The Browns' Joe Thomas pledged to buy the Panthers if he gets 1 million retweets. And we know how that works on Twitter. So I think Joe's pretty safe because he definitely does not have the bankroll to produce that by himself.
Boy, this is going to be interesting, man. This is going to be interesting to see who steps up. But look, I don't just want some businessman or businesswoman stepping up and buying. I'd like to see kind of a glitzy crew buy this team.
Well, the good thing about it is it's only 48% is what Richardson owns. So it's not necessarily confirmed that the other people that own the rest of the Panthers are selling theirs, or is just he selling his shares.
Interesting. They were saying on the morning show, too, the team's worth like $2.3 or $2.5 billion.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, $2.3. Remember when we added up Diddy and everybody who wanted to join him? They were $1.4 billion short.
You need to understand, Preach, man, don't take it the wrong way. I tried my best yesterday. I'm still ill right now, I am literally flying high on Zyrtec D right now.
Nice.
Because it's like a once every 12-hour joint, but once my nose starts running a little bit, I take another pill. I'm about to climb the walls here.
Research
really
material.
Quick. Now, before we do that, this is a really good story. It's a feel-good story. Cole Hamels and his wife have donated their $9.75 million mansion to charity in Missouri. It's going to... It's going to Camp Barnabas, which helps children with special needs and chronic illness.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's the best time of year. And allegedly, it's the largest donation in the organization's history.
That's an unbelievable gesture. I'm focusing on... No, leave it alone. Leave it alone. He's got a trophy wife. He's got a trophy
wife. All right, today's research material is Abella Anderson. Anderson.
Familiar with
how do
her
you spell?
Work.
Oh, just Bella?
No, Bella.
Bella.
We'll continue a Falcons Tuesday brought to you by Xfinity. When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Knox Bardeen in studio. We're going to get this bet cranked up. Somebody's getting something shaved in their head. It's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Middays 10 to 2. It's...
It is a Tuesday staple at 1 o'clock. Knox Bardeen of 92.9thegame.com comes in for our weekly barbershop Bickerfest. And typically it's about college football. We're going to talk college football. We're going to talk Falcons on a Falcons Tuesday here. Of course, we're the home of the Falcons. Maybe some of you knew that. Rick Hamill, John Michaels, Knox Bardeen. Knox, good afternoon.
What's up, guys?
Let me hit you with this. These knuckleheads, all three of these guys, Paul Bible, Mark Owens, John Michaels, all three of them think that if Oklahoma gets to the 30-point plateau, that the Dogs don't have a chance to win the game.
Don't have a chance.
They think it's a wrap if Oklahoma gets to 30. My final score on this game, and I've put a lot of research and thought into it, is 41-31 Dogs. So I'm not worried about OU getting to 30 because I think the Dogs are going to get to 40. But are you with them or are you with me?
I'm in no way, shape, or form saying they can't win if Oklahoma gets to 30. But that's not the game that Georgia wants to play. Because that sounds to me like it's a Baker Mayfield versus – it's a quarterback versus quarterback game. I don't want to face that if I'm in Georgia. I want to be controlling the clock. I want to run the ball down their throats. I want to win with Chubb and Sony Michel each having a couple of scores. 30-27, I'm fine with that. But if this is a 40-35 game, it favors Oklahoma.
I just think the line of demarcation becomes 30. 30 and up is a huge favor for Oklahoma because they're used to playing in those games. Heck, they beat Oklahoma State, 62-52 in some wild, you know, typical Big 12, no defense, cockamamie, throw it all over the field type of game. The only game they lost this year, they scored 31. Right there against Iowa State. Iowa State's defense did just enough. They had to come back in the fourth quarter, but they held them to a low point total. And low is a very relative term when it comes to 30. 30 in college football is about that's medium level, a little upper echelon type of offense. Oklahoma gets this thing into the 30s and 40s. I just don't know where that's a game that Georgia wants to play.
Look, I agree with you guys 1,000%. Georgia does not want to get in a track meet with Oklahoma, okay? I'll put it on the record. I just don't think the game's going that way. You can try to limit Mayfield and these guys. You can try to hold Oklahoma below 30. Trying to and succeeding at it are two distinctly different things. I think you can put 30 on the board with Oklahoma. You can just put it on the board. I think they are that good. I think Baker Mayfield is that good. But I think the Dogs, think about this. First of all, Oklahoma is allowing 385 total yards per game and 25 points per game. That is like lower half in major college football. And then you've got Georgia. They score, they lit up the scoreboard against a lot of their opponents this year. 31 on Mississippi State, 41 on Tennessee, 45 on Vandy, 52 on Missouri, 42 on Florida. You rack up 42 against Kentucky, and then 38 against Tech, and 28 against Auburn. It's not like the Dogs play in the 20s every week. They don't. Clemson does. Miami did. The Dogs live in the 30s and 40s. And if you can, you know, light up the scoreboard with 45 against Vandy, why can't you do that against Oklahoma?
I think you could. I just don't feel as comfortable as if this game stays underneath 30. And here's another problem that I think Georgia's going to face. And I'm in no way, shape, or form saying this is doomsday for Georgia. But when you have a power passer, a guy that can really chuck the ball around, Drew Locke from Missouri this year. He had some great success against Georgia, especially early in that game before they figured things out. That's where you want to attack Georgia's defenses, that secondary. It's Baker Mayfield. I mean, this guy can throw the ball. Oh, and he can evade, too. So this is going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, I'm picking Georgia to win because I do think their defense can slow down Oklahoma. Looking at Oklahoma's defense, last three games they've given up 17 points a game on average. And the numbers are skewed when you play in the Big 12. You're going to give up some big point totals. To go back to their offense, so only twice this year have they been held under 40 points. Only twice. And that was a 31-16 win over Ohio State. They lose 38-31 to Iowa State, and they beat TCU 38-20 in the first matchup. You're going to be hard-pressed to keep this team under. If Georgia's defensive line gets after Baker Mayfield and you keep it in that range, they're going to win the football game.
And that's why I say that this is just not an offense that you are going to dominate and get up on top of. You might, for a minute, they're going to squirt out and they're going to make plays. So I just think you can put 30 on the board. But you are with me that you don't think 30 for OU is a death knell.
It's not the death knell, no.
All right. I don't believe it's a death knell either. But, John, I do agree with you. Georgia wants the time of possession to be like 37-23 or something like that. I mean, that's obviously a winning formula. They would, John, 35-25 TOP would be perfect for Georgia. And they do want to keep the score down. And they do want to keep the clock running and Mayfield off the field. I just don't think they're going to be able to get that done.
I'm looking through who Oklahoma has played defensively. TCU had the best points per game statistical team that they played against. They gave up 19.1 points a game. That's also playing twice against Oklahoma. 38 that we talked about in one game, they also give up 41 in the other game. That I think Oklahoma could have scored more if they really needed to in the Big 12 championship game. Next best defensive team that Oklahoma went against was Ohio State, who gives up 19.9 points a game. Oklahoma scores 31. The next one after that is Iowa State, 24th ranked defense in the country, 20.7 points a game. They scored 31 in that. And then as I scroll down, I don't see points per game defenses in the Big 12 really anywhere to be found. So you played three defenses that gave up less than 21 points a game. You scored 31, 31, 38, and 41 against them. That's where I think Georgia, they're better defensively than any of those teams we just named.
They are, but you're kind of making my point for me. The best defenses they played this year, they shredded. And I don't think they're going to shred the Dogs, but they're going to move the rock against the Dogs and light up the scoreboard against the
Dogs.
But
again, my point to
and
that.
And that's not a diss on the Dog defense. I'm lauding Oklahoma's offense.
Knox, Georgia is a touchdown better than those teams. A touchdown. They give up 13, almost a touchdown. They give up 13 plus points a game. 31 and 38. If Georgia can keep it at 30, and 31 for Iowa State as well. If you keep it to 31 and think that your defense and know that your defense is better than any of the ones I just named, there's no reason to think you can't keep them under 30 points.
No, I hear you. And I was in Athens yesterday, and I took a straw poll of all the Georgia beat guys, the guys that are there every single day. And believe it or not, I know John said he's picking Georgia. I haven't heard what you're doing.
I've got
yet.
The Dogs, too. 41-31.
There's the majority of those guys down there that are not picking Georgia. And those are guys that look at this team every day. And everything I heard was, you know, Baker Mayfield, not only the arm, but guys that can move behind the line of scrimmage really give this Georgia defense trouble. So this is not, you know, I don't think 30's the death knell, which is where you started this argument. But I really have to look at how's the secondary in Georgia going to step up. I agree. I think that the Oklahoma Sooners have not seen a defense like this. And flip the script, the Oklahoma Sooners can't stop the run all that well. They're ranked, what, 50th in the country or something like that? I think it's going to be a successful day for those running backs. But if you're going to get into a track meet, you don't want to do it with running backs. You want to do it with a quarterback and receivers.
I'm looking at Georgia's schedule, and, you know, I'm thinking about the best quarterbacks they have faced. I would put Jarrett Stidham up there. I would put Drew Locke up there. The kid from Mississippi State. Why is his
name
escaping? Nick Fitzgerald and Brandon Wimbush. None of those guys are even in the same ballpark as Baker Mayfield.
No.
They're not even in the same ballpark. So that's why I think Oklahoma is going to tilt-ish the machine against the Dogs. But again, I think the Dogs can give up 31 and still win the game. Because as you said, I don't believe Oklahoma is going to stop Chubb and Michelle. I don't believe they're going to stop them at all. I think those guys are going to run wild on Oklahoma.
And you talk about two guys, especially Chubb, who came back for a senior season to do just this. This is going to be an emotional game, going out playing in the Rose Bowl with a chance to say, this is why I'm speaking for Chubb here. This is why I came back. Watch this. I don't care about the NFL draft right now. I don't care about anything other than proving myself.
Hey, John, you're on the field for all these games, dude, as a sideline reporter for the Falcons Radio Network. Talk to me about this. This game is at the Rose Bowl on natural grass. Correct me if I'm wrong. Oklahoma plays on AstroTurf. Not AstroTurf, but like a synthetic turf field. I don't believe they play on natural grass.
You're probably right in the Midwest.
So, and what does Oklahoma have on their opponents? Speed. Mm-hmm. That is their whole game. All of their running backs can go and just fly. All of their wide receivers can fly. Baker Mayfield can fly. Talk to me about that. What you've talked with some of the Falcons about it, what you've observed in terms of going from a turf field to a natural grass surface. I think it's going to slow Oklahoma down.
But I don't think it's as much as you would think. It's not like you're going to go out to old Notre Dame Stadium where they'd grow the grass 2 feet high and you're running through the muck and the mire. That the field at the Rose Bowl is going to be manicured as well as anything that you can be. It makes a little bit of a difference, but I think sometimes that gets overblown. It's not like, again, it's not like Oklahoma's going to go out there and all of a sudden they're running five flats in the 40. They'll be able to run just like Georgia will be able to run. It is right now, it's actually grass. TIF Sport Bermuda grass from 1994 on. They had AstroTurf in the 70s. They had SuperTurf 81 to 83. And from 1994 on, they've had TIF Sport Bermuda grass at Oklahoma Memorial Stadium.
So is that fake grass?
I think that's regular. Bermuda normally means.
I think they say Bermuda is real.
That's real grass. Because they would say some type of turf, field turf, mush turf, pellet turf. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it.
Interesting. Knox is in bickering with Rick and John here. All right, John. I know you want to stoke up a little bet perhaps here. IRS is listening, we don't put actual greenbacks on the line.
We put the back of your boxes. Head. On the line. That's what we know. So, Knox, who do you have, Clemson or Alabama?
Clemson.
I got Bama.
Is back.
It is. What? It's not back because the reason we had a bet in the first place is Knox, cover your ears, stupidly told us that Clemson didn't have a shot in hell against Alabama. So you and me, John, went, what?
Yeah.
Needle on the record. Oh, we got to make a bet. So are you going to say something as outlandish as that,
Go
Knox?
For it. Come on, Knox. No, do
no,
it.
No, no, and
do
you're
it.
Not gonna, you're not going
to Memphis
needle me
wants
into this.
To come back up here again.
I'm sure he does.
Hey, don't wuss out. Come on. Now. You know your wife liked it when you got your hair cut.
I don't feel as passionate about this. Last year, I knew deep down into my soul that there was no way Alabama could lose that game. And minus that the injury to the running back.
Well, now you sound like Saints fans. But the referees robbed us. And if Alvin Kamara, where?
The aftermath of the Memphis haircut was great for me, so I'm not arguing about the outcome there.
So,
but
Knox, we could take your social media level from here to here. And you're already, like, climbing the ladder.
Do you know who... First off, I had to promise my wife no more stupid bets. So if I'm going to go in here and make a bet, I'm going to have to feel passionate about it.
Well, be passionate.
And my daughter already thinks Rick Kamla is the king of the world for sending me home with glitter in my hair one day. So
the bet is on. If Rick loses, he gets the Clemson plaque.
Set the guy that never puts anything into this.
I do.
He doesn't have any hair.
Yeah, I don't have any hair.
Well, it doesn't have to be hair. What?
I got
to
give John credit. He actually got a tattoo for the Falcons making the Super Bowl. I got to give him some credit.
On my body. Not going anywhere. And I just got it redone.
With pain. There was pain involved.
Did you make that happen or did you just go out and do it?
No, my bet was simple. We around the show said, Falcons go to the Super Bowl, we get tattoos. And then Paul goes, well, I'm not in. And then Mark was in until he went home and his wife was like, I hope you don't think you're actually getting a tattoo. And Rick couldn't get clearance from the government either. So
Charity didn't say no. She said hell no.
So I was the only one. So, yeah, I put my body on the line. That will be permanent right there, and I wear it with a badge of pride. Like you two should wear with a badge of pride. You got Clemson. You've got Alabama. Memphis, our barber, back up here again, and the loser gets a haircut.
I got a better idea. So instead of doing the paw or the, you know, Alabama A, loser gets frosted tips.
Oh, I can't do it.
B-A-T-B
no,
Rick.
No. Can't do it. I'm Warriors
game. I don't care about this game enough to find something I care about that I differ with one of you guys.
Can we just have them carve 90-9 a game in the back of their heads?
That would be awesome.
All right, let's kick this around. Because the thing is, we don't have a vehement disagreement.
Right.
That's where juice box agreements, that's where these hair bets come from. We've got to be mad at each other that we're so off with our opinions.
I mean, my wife, and I was trying to explain to her, hey, this helped build my brand. This brought my popularity up. People come up to me, she's like, stop being the stooge on their show. And if I'm going to...
Well, why did you enjoy that? He took particular enjoyment in that line.
Because it's true.
So if I'm going to defy her and continue to be the stooge on this show, I am going to believe in my cause. I don't, you know.
Well, we would have you bet on Oklahoma State because you believed in them all year. You could get the little cowboy with a pew pew.
Hold on. Oklahoma State is playing Michigan. No, who are they playing?
Make him grow a mullet like the coach.
No, we could literally do an Oklahoma State bet because I think I'm on the other side of that. Please look up who they are playing.
I'm not sure I care.
How come none of us know this?
Because it's a bowl game in December.
I know, but it's like right around the corner.
Concerning the mullet, Paul, remember when Emma was filming my haircut, how much trouble Memphis had placing the Clemson paw because I'm follically challenged?
That's only on top and the middle. I'm talking a mullet. You got to grow it out in the back. It's all good.
That's only on top and the middle and the sides.
Would one of you get like a henna tattoo?
No.
That comes off in
a
like
what tattoo?
Henna tattoo.
What
comes
the hell's
off in
a
like
henna tattoo?
They just draw it on. It goes away in like 2 weeks.
Oh,
can we get a henna tattoo of the loser,
dude? It's Virginia Tech and Oklahoma State.
Boring.
Boring.
What are you talking about?
Boring.
He loves Virginia Tech, by the way.
I think I'm my QB, Josh Jackson. You
want to
go?
If we want this to have sizzle, guys, we have to come up with something that means something.
I just thought a little get back for Clemson and Alabama. You're actually on the right side this time. Maybe you'll win the bet. And Rick will have a big A in the back. It'll be him and Courtney Upshaw with matching haircuts.
I don't think I'd be quite the viral sensation that Knox was last year.
Oh, are you kidding? NBA TV Rick, Mr. $2.2 million man with an Alabama A.
People like Shaq retweeting that? Oh, yeah.
Look at Kamla. I went to LSU. I'm going to put my size 32 up your rear end. We'll take a break. We'll come back. What was the best win in the NFL? It's coming up next on Shaq Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Enjoyment in that line.
Because it's true.
Great moment, man. Preacher man. Call it out, Knox. And it's Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to get into our NFL inventory of Week 15 here in just a second. But, John, let's give away tickets.
Let's do it.
Right about now. All right. Do you want to see our Hawks take on the Wizards Wednesday, December 27th? Tickets are available at AtlantaHawks.com. But caller number one, 404-741-0929. Caller number one, 404-741-0929.
Call us.
Here is the trivia question. How many steals did Kent Bazemore have last night? Don't tell him. Preacher Man's flashing you the number right now.
I was going to give it away. I thought he was being King Kong Bundy with the count. He wanted that for a count. So there's your hint.
I love it. So first caller, 404-741-0929.
What number is that?
Stop it, John.
What was that number again?
I've got it right in front of me, too, and I screwed it up. It says it right here, 404-741-0929. It says this is brought to you by some place called Solomon Brothers. I don't know.
Yeah.
Our friends. I'm just kidding.
We would love to hear from you. 404-431. I think I just screwed up the number. Let me get back to that.
Oh, what number was
404-471.
That? 404-471. No. 741-09. How long have you worked?
Oh, my God. It has been a long week, I guess.
Are you a little bit dyslexic?
No.
I'm a little bit dyslexic. So, like, B's and D's?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just three-fourths of an idiot is what I am.
But I juxtaposed there the 7 and the 4.
And you also threw a 3 in there just for the hell of it.
I did, didn't I?
Can I catch a niner? You calling from a walkie-talkie?
4-3-1.
By the way, did you know that yesterday was the 20-year anniversary of the death of Chris Farley?
No, I didn't know that.
20 years ago yesterday.
Also, a couple of days ago was the 25th year anniversary of Dr. Dre's The Chronic being released.
What an album.
How old am I that that's 25 years old?
And still dope.
Yeah.
M.O., please write this down as a slice of life in the future. Our favorite dead celebrities. Because Chris Farley is one of mine. Phil Hartman, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Did Phil Hartman not make you guys laugh every single time? Just sitting down at
funny.
A chair, like not even talking, make you laugh? Anyway, God bless them, man. It sucks that they're in heaven and not here on planet Earth.
You can't
Earth.
Be morbid with it. You can't be like, I still miss David Bowie and Prince. Now, let's go old school.
Hey, you know what I don't miss? I don't miss anything because Falcons Tuesdays are brought to you by Xfinity. When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. All right, let's do some inventory of the NFL. Best win, worst loss, most choke, most clutch. Best use of a phone number. I don't know. Best celebration dance. All of that stuff right now, Rick Kamla.
There's so many choices, John. I've got 8 teams written down here that got really great wins, and I know where you want to go. I know you want to go to the Great Northwest, so I'm going to leave that to you. And
how do you know me?
And well, just because. I can read it in your eyes, John.
You don't think I wanted to go Buffalo Bills?
You know
for best
what?
Win?
I'm going to change my answer here because I'm going to talk about this element in another one of our categories when we get to best coaching. I'm going to say best win was the Dallas Cowboys because you're at Oakland, and it is a very, very difficult place to get a win. Oakland was still alive to keep their playoff hopes alive. It's Sunday Night Football. You still don't have Zeke Elliott, and it's the game before you get Zeke back. But guess what? Green Bay had an opportunity to win their game and then make it matter with Aaron Rodgers. They couldn't get that done. Dallas won and made it matter that Ezekiel Elliott is coming back for week 16 and week 17. And albeit, you know, I don't love Dallas's chances of making the playoffs, but they're still alive.
Yep.
And if they lose that Raider game, it's all for naught. So I say best win the Dallas Cowboys.
Hell of a win. They got a little bit fortunate, but they made plays when they needed to. They got a note card involved. They had a fumble out of the back of the end zone with a touchback. But Cowboys are still there, and now Zeke comes back, and he's looking a little buffer than he had in the past because he's got all these training pictures that he's thrown out there. I'm sure our buddies RJ Choppy and Shan out in Dallas have had a lot of fun with that as he has been training during the six-week suspension.
I'm guessing the ladies of Dallas have had more fun with those pictures.
Probably. Best win for me. You know me all too well, Rick. It's the L.A. Rams mollywhopping and mauling the Seattle Seahawks. And let's be honest, it couldn't happen to a nicer group. After the game, Earl Thomas saying Bobby Wagner shouldn't have played if he wasn't 100%, and other guys could have done the job. So a little bit of infighting going on there in Seattle. It's nice to go bye-bye to that group because that group had become annoying. They were the cute little story and awesome to see Russell Wilson and the Legion of Boom and that all come together and win in a Super Bowl. And we all felt bad for them when they blew it against the New England Patriots on second and goal at the one-yard line. Since then, they've kind of been jerks, and it's kind of nice to see them lose. And I like the Rams going up there and physically beating the crap out of Seattle.
Earl Thomas is right and wrong. You don't call out a teammate,
nope.
Okay, but he's right in this way. Todd Gurley's 57-yard touchdown for his fourth touchdown of the day. Bobby Wagner couldn't run.
Mm-hmm.
He was out there at like 20%, not 50%. So God bless you for trying to play, but he probably did, in fact, hurt his team by trying to be out there and making plays. John, as we take inventory of Week 15, hit me with your worst loss.
Oh, Paul, you're going to be mad at me for this one. They cost me a game in our six-pack of picks. You said it. It's a sucker bet. When they make the field goal to go up one, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting a point and a half. Take that. And then Jimmy Garoppolo just goes boop, 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 right back down the field. The Tennessee Titans, by virtue of their loss, have almost guaranteed that my New Year's and all of us on the Falcons Radio Network will be spent inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 8:25 because that's probably when the kick's going to happen. Thank you, Titans, for stinking like you always do when you're not supposed to. You can't lose to the 49ers!
Well, as I tweeted out, dumpster fire, as usual. Just the picture that I put out there when the game was going on because that's exactly what they look like.
Malarkey is the perfect name for their coach because that's what they look like when the game was on the line. Malarkey.
Is that what they were full of?
Yeah, a whole bunch of it.
Full of malarkey. All right, I'm going to throw the I'm going to throw the L.A. Chargers under the bus for the worst loss. I mean, who saw Phillip Rivers throwing three interceptions? Who saw 30-13 in that game? I'm not raising my hand. I saw a barn burner at Arrowhead. Oh, it's cold. It's Arrowhead at night. No, it was like high 30s, mm-hmm. Clear, no excuses. You got to go out there and ball. And give Kansas City credit. Their defense finally rose. It's like, where have you been all year? But for the L.A. Chargers on a roll, what did they won? Six or seven in a row or whatever it was to get there. And Phillip Rivers was lighting the NFL on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then he and the Chargers suffer just a terrible, terrible loss. So that's my worst loss of Week 15. Who was the most choky in Week 15?
I've got two, and I'm going to go to the non-political correctness angle. It's the NFL rules on what the hell a catch is. I get by the letter of the law that is an incomplete pass. We talked about this during the pregame coverage yesterday on the Falcons Radio Network. When does common sense come into this? Like, when do you simplify what a catch is and what a catch isn't? That is a catch that breaks the plane of the goal, and then he hits the ground in the end zone, and the ball pops and wiggles. I know by the rule that they have set forth, it is an incomplete pass, and it was the right call on the field. But common sense watching football, that is a catch 100 times out of 100. I mean,
his knee was down. His elbow was down. The ball was across the line. To me, it looked like the ball spun. It didn't look like it came out of his hand because he still had one hand underneath it.
Just pivoted. It wasn't a bobble. The ball never touched the ground other than, you know, he placed the ball on the ground. But it – I'm with you, Preacher Man. I'm calling that a touchdown.
When you need the ground to aid you actually catching the ball, okay, then it's incomplete. When you've caught the ball up high, turn, laying on your stomach and in the end zone, that is a catch.
Have you seen the video that Riveron put out basically describing why it wasn't a touchdown, but yet confirming that it was a catch?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like contradicting himself in his whole video.
Well, and the NFL likes this. They've had many opportunities to clarify the catch rule. They have not done that because they want us talking about their league right now. All right, John, most choke for me, there were several options. The Kaiser lollipop in the end zone against Baltimore, one of the worst throws I've ever seen in my lifetime. Ben Roethlisberger's interception at the end of the New England game. That was a chokey play. Mm-hmm. Look at him, throwing it. Come on, Ben. You got to make a better play than that. And Derek Carr with the touchback against
Dale. I had that one down as well.
But you got that. Okay, so but for me, it's Geronimo Allison of the Green Bay Packers. You catch a little slant from Aaron Rodgers. You're making a football move, and dude comes over and knocks the ball away. They recover, season over. That was the most chokey play for me. Let's move on to coaches, John. Best coaching in Week 15.
I got to go with Ron Rivera. You know what? We heard all week about Aaron Rodgers is coming back. Oh, no. That means Green Bay is going to be invincible, and they're going to go out there and dominate the Packers. And I bought in. I picked the Packers. How dare me? Ron Rivera cooked up a great game plan. The first drive, when they just said, here comes Christian McCaffrey, if you can't stop it, too damn bad, and they couldn't. And they marched down the field, and they scored, and they kept the pressure on. Three interceptions, they weren't afraid of the Green Bay receivers. I give it to Ron Rivera. I still don't know how the Carolina Panthers just keep winning, but credit to their group. They're playing, and they're having a great season.
John, I've been really wishy-washy about this guy. Best coaching for me is Doug Marrone of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and here's why. I didn't think that he was a head coach. I thought he was a coordinator who was in over his head. He was up at Buffalo, went 6-10, then 9-7, and now he's got this Jacksonville job. And he's got the Jaguars in the playoffs for the first time since 2007. He's doing good things with Blake Bortles. His defense is nasty. They're mauling people with their offensive line in the running game. So, for me, it's Doug Marrone. I did not think that he would be the guy to take Jacksonville to the next level. And shame on Gus Bradley. Right, their previous coach, he had a lot of these same guys, John, and they're winning 3-4 games every year. So good on Doug Marrone.
How about the most clutch player in the NFL?
Did we pass that on?
Yeah, we kind of skipped on over that one.
So I'd go Eli Manning just to shove it up everybody's you-know-whats. 434-3 for a guy that gets benched for Geno Smith. Give me a break. John, I'm going to go with Rob Gronkowski because the catches that he made in that game were stupid, had the big two-point conversion, which wasn't a difficult play. It was wide open. But Gronkowski in the second half was amazing.
He's unguardable.
He reminded us that he is the Gorn, not the GOAT, but the Gorn, which is the greatest of right now.
Yeah, he's a great tight end right now. I had Kareem Hunt. Welcome back. Fantasy players everywhere are like, yes, that's the Kareem Hunt we went. And finally, worst coaching for me, Mike Tomlin. I know you may have gotten robbed a little bit on the catch. That fake spike, you had to tell Ben, simply, fake it if it's not there. Throw that damn thing into the river. Don't let it get intercepted.
I'm not mad at that. I thought Todd Haley had some issues, their OC, at the end of that game as well. John, I'm going with a co-worst coaching.
Okay.
Marvin Lewis. Bye-bye. For the news coming out before the game, and you go out and lay a 34-7 egg, did you even want to be there? But more important than that is Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. Your guys were not even ready to take the field against the LA Rams.
Coming up next, read between the lines. If you haven't heard the victory song, it's fantastic. What's even better? The outtakes. That's next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.